The purpose of Paul's letter to Philemon is to set Onesimus free from slavery. Onesimus ran away from his master Philemon. This runaway slave runs into the Apostle Paul. Paul baptizes Onesimus. Onesimus at some point tells Paul his story. Under Roman law, slaves are property that must be returned to their owners. Paul, however, does not want to send Onesimus back into forced labor. He sees great potential in Onesimus, in the work of the gospel. He sees him as an equal, calling him brother in Christ. Paul uses Onesimus' name, which means useful, to do a word play. Before, Onesimus was useless to you, Philemon, but now he is useful to you and to me. And more importantly, useful to the work of the holy ministry. There's also likely a word play on the name Philemon, which means beloved. Paul knows that Jesus is beloved by Philemon. He loves Jesus and he loves God's people, all of them. Philemon has an opportunity now to show his love to this runaway slave in the fullness of the gospel by freeing him. Let's just say that slavery in the Bible is complicated, both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, especially to our modern ears, especially to our American ears who have slavery in our history. God reminds his people from the very beginning of the Old Testament over and over again that they were once slaves in the land of Egypt as foreigners. And he reminds God's people so they should learn how to treat other people just as they would want to be treated. Both in the Old Testament and New Testament, both were written in a time when slavery was a sad and messy reality. Even so today, in Chicago, did you know that human trafficking, Chicago tops the list of human trafficking in the United States? And so today we read this letter from Paul to a Christian man, a prominent church leader who owned slaves. And I believe we're at a disadvantage today, especially recently in our history. We seem to be so polarized that it seems that one side only wants to talk about social justice and the other side does not want to talk about it at all. In fact, see it as a threat to the message of salvation. It seems that one side preaches a message that's so heavenly minded that it is no earthly good. And the other side preaches a message so grounded in current events that there is little to no spiritual relevance. You'll remember that the great commandment is to love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, with your whole being. And the second commandment is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. Or as Jesus said, to love your neighbor as Christ loved us. How can we love our neighbor when we do not care about their physical welfare? The gospel calls us to look beyond our differences as human beings and to empathize with others, to love them. In Christ, there is neither Jew nor Greek, male nor female, slave nor free. We are all one in Jesus Christ. Just in this one letter of Paul to Philemon, Paul commends those of Jewish ancestry and Greek. He commends Apphia, a female. He's calling both a slave owner a brother, and he's calling a runaway slave a brother. This is what the gospel does. We are all the same at the foot of the cross. And so the gospel challenges you and me to look around us, to view the harvest that is white. Everyone bears the image of God. The differences that you and I see are not obstacles to the love of God that has been poured out so richly in Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. The world. Not just those like me or like you. The gospel breaks down walls of hostility between one human being and another. That's what Scripture says. In Christ, our differences do not divide us. Skin color, gender, social status. God calls us to love those who are near and those who are far. Those who are similar and those who are dissimilar. As the Good Samaritan would not pass by another human being while others like him did, in Christ, we are all to have compassion and to empathize with those from different tribes and nations. So God calls us to look around this neighborhood, the city of Chicago, this nation, and all around the world, and care. How can we love people who we don't care about? When Jesus welcomes those who love him into his kingdom, he will say, "For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." It's not that we solve the world's suffering, but that we would discover how God uses us as individuals and as the body of Christ to show the love of God. Just as Jesus went around the world doing good and preaching the good news, so we get to participate in revealing the beautiful love of God for the world through the gospel of Jesus Christ. One of our most beloved hymns of the Christian faith is one we will sing later in the service, "Amazing Grace." And I'm sure you know the story. The writer, John Newton, was a captain of a slave ship. When he came to faith in Jesus, he saw the evil he had done and repented. He became a pastor. He became a hymn writer, and he also became an abolitionist. He became socially active in ending slavery in Great Britain. So the Apostle Paul is both a preacher of the gospel and an agent for social change, for the betterment of those around him. Paul appeals to a greater reality of the gospel. He talks about our identity as children of God, as brothers and sisters in Christ. And I love that Paul tells Philemon, "You owe me big time." And indeed, we all owe each other big time the love of God. There is no higher law than the law of God. Higher than the laws of the state and rules of human institutions, even our constitution and bylaws as we near our congregational meeting. Our ultimate authority is the law of Christ, the law of love for all nations, tribes, nations, tongues, and people. Jesus died and rose again to bring the whole world eternal life and forgiveness. The power of the gospel is so awesome that it not only changes individual lives spiritually, it changes and transforms nations socially. We should not be ashamed of the gospel that has both spiritual and practical relevance to our lives and the lives of those around us. We can be the light of Christ as his people in this time and in this place. In fact, thanks be to God that the gospel is so relevant, it should be celebrated. And now for the rest of the story of Philemon and Onesimus. Onesimus will be freed by Philemon. Onesimus will be mentored by Paul. Onesimus will not only become a pastor, he'll become bishop of Ephesus. And so in Christ, we all discover the love of God, our worth, and our usefulness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.